Good morning, Calvary Chapel of Rochester. Such a joy to be here. Thank you guys for coming out. A little bit chilly in my neighborhood, so came on out anyway. So praise the Lord. Couple of things. Turn your Bible and your app to Hosea. Chapter 14, verses 1 through 19. And today, Lord willing, the desire, the goal is to talk about what it means when it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And I encourage you to all listen intently, because in the verse, it talks about Israel. Their idolatry, their, and all the things that they're going through, and the stiff neck, the hard hearts, the double hearts, and that. And I want to encourage you to look at that from a totally different standpoint. When we look at what's going on in our nation, are we really any different than what they did, what they didn't do? Are we any different in our relationship to God, with God, through God? Are we any different? So I'm going to encourage you to look at that and fill in the blank. Sometimes it'll say Israel, but I'm going to allow you, encourage you to fill in the blank. Are we talking Israel or are we talking the good old US of A right now? So that's where we are. So Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for this time that you set aside for each and every one of us, Father. And we thank you for just allowing us to wake up this morning with a reasonable portion of our strength and health. And to see the new mercy sprinkling on our pillow, knowing that you provided us constantly with a hope and a future. And I pray, Father, that every word that's spoken here would be rightly divided, Father. And I know that you have a plan for us collectively and individually. And I know that your heart's desire is that we acknowledge you in everything, Father. We determine good and bad, but we have a loving God who's omnipotent. We have a loving God who's he's the great I am. And we know that your desire is that our hearts be changed, Father. So I just pray that you would use this vessel, Father, to get your word out to the people. And we need it now more than ever. So we give praise and honor to our Lord and Savior. Amen. Hosea 4, 1 through 19. The first thing that I'd like to touch on is the word, the Greek verb apollomia. Apollomia is used in the New Testament to convey the idea of destruction, loss, or perishing. It can refer to physical destruction, the loss of life, or spiritual ruin. The term is often used in the context of eternal consequences, emphasizing the gravity of spiritual loss or separation from God. It can also imply the idea of being rendered useless, being rendered ineffective, or lost to a particular purpose. We have a purpose, and the message of chapter 4 is that Israel is guilty of lawlessness, Israel is guilty of immorality, Israel is guilty of God's word, of guilt of ignorance of God's word, and idolatry. We can compare this with Isaiah chapter 1. As we read this, I would encourage us to interchange these same sins of Israel with the sins of our own nation. I would encourage us to ask ourselves, self-examine and ask, are we idolaters? I won't answer for you, but as for me, I can say that the answer is yes. And not at the risk of saying I'm doomed, I'm lost, but it's that no nation worships the almighty dollar more than this nation. And some of us sitting here don't want to hear that, but I'm encouraged to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So that's what I'm going to do. Verse 1, hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. Hosea is bringing a judicial charge from the Lord to the children of Israel. What does it mean to bring a charge? And we've all heard the saying, is we have a charge to keep. And what is that charge? We are charged or entrusted with a task, as a duty, and as a responsibility. We are to be ready. We are to be brave to tell the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Are you ready? Are you ready? If you're not, I'd like to challenge you to choose this day who you will serve. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. And give yourself an opportunity to make the decision whether you're going to follow Christ or you're going to follow the world. This is the day. The Lord has said three things here in verse 1. There is no mercy, there is no truth, and there is no knowledge in the land. The people have become brainwashed in their idolatry. There was a great deal of religion, but no real knowledge of God. And when I see that word religion, I always think about how we use it as an umbrella to identify what we believe, what we think, how we live. But bear in mind, it takes more than religion to be a true, pure-hearted Christian. It takes much more than that. You know a lot of scripture. But that tune that my brother Mark was playing, here's the answer. Now, what's your question? And there are a lot of questions out there, and we hear them every single day. But we encourage you to read the Word of God. Read it. Study to show yourself approved. And a lot of times we don't do that. There's some people sitting right now, here right now, who are trying to get this through osmosis. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. You need to dig in. You need to have a personal relationship with Him. And just coming here, why do you go to church? Well, it's traditional. I've gone to church all my life. How does that equate to a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior? How does that equate? It doesn't. Why do you go to church? Because I get the chance to socialize with my friends. It's not going to hold up. Why do you go to church? Well, they offer a free meal. I'm in. That's not going to do it. Why do you go to church? Because my grandmother, my mother all went to church. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Well, not really, but I think if I could hold on to their coattails, that'll get me in. It doesn't work. God has no stepchildren. God has no foster kids. God has no best buds. It's you and Him, one-on-one, mano a mano. And that's the only thing that's going to get you in. Verse 2. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. And here, note the many infractions of the Ten Commandments as they appear in Exodus chapter 20. Look at what they're doing. Look at these people. Look at these powers that be. Look how they're living. And bloodshed upon bloodshed means all this was happening even among relatives. And coming out of the Thanksgiving and the Christmas season where we are more than likely to be around people that we wouldn't normally fellowship with, we get challenged. How did you handle this past season? Did you coexist with Uncle Bob? Did you get into an argument with Aunt Mary? That's not what the Lord would have of us. Ask yourself, Lord, how would I know your people? You will know my people by the love that they have for one another. Bottom line. So even though they may not be have the best characters, nor do we need to be Jesus-like every time, everywhere, with everyone. Is that easy, brother? Nobody ever said it would be. It's very challenging. But again, are you up to the task? Today we have legislators which are filled with men and women who are ignorant of the word of God. and ignorant of the commandments which have been basic for this nation, and they are passing legislation which condones the lifestyle of sexual perverts. Are we allowing it? You decide. Is there something that you can do? Have you been prayerful about what your part would be in going in, stemming this tide? Classic example, I don't have it here, but I have to refer to it. This last proposition that we passed. My people perish for lack of knowledge. There should never be a time when this information is put somewhere where we're going to see it at the last minute and we have to make a decision. And those documents were written for the uninformed. Those who know what I'm talking about can say amen to that, because that's exactly what it was. Lack of knowledge. And now we're looking at this, oh my gosh, how did we get here? That's how we got here. That's how we got there. And those things will continue to ramp up as long as we're just taking it in stride. And the powers that be have no guilt, no conscience. They're going to keep on, how far can I push them? Now, I'm not going to even allow you as a parent to dictate what your child does or doesn't do. We're going to take that away from you. Well, they can't do that. Who's they? They. Verse 3, therefore the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Even the fish of the sea will be taken away. Sin wreaks havoc with lower creation and nature. When we see animals just dying, we take it lightly. We've already seen the list that they create for what we're going to save and what we're going to destroy. We're going to save the spotted owl, but we're going to make laws that allow you to abolish your child. Somehow that just doesn't seem right. But it's happening. But wait, there's more. That's the part we need to be careful with. What next? What next? Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. And that's what we're allowing to happen around us. What do? We've always got prayer. Is the Lord calling you to go further than that? That's between you and your God. But is he calling you? If he's calling, don't deny him. These things have to be contained. Simple as that. When God judges a nation, the land itself is involved, and even the beasts and fowl suffer because of the sin of mankind. It's not a big deal. So they wipe out a few species. It matters. God didn't put them there just to take up space. There's a reason that these species are there. And as we sit idle, as we're passive, these things are being taken away from us. The very things that we thought would never happen are happening. Joel 1:17-20 tells us, the sea shrivels under the clods. Storehouses are in shambles. Barns are broken down, for the grain has withered. How the animals groan. The herds of cattle are restless because they have no pasture. Even the flocks of sheep suffer punishment. O Lord, to you I cry out. For fire has devoured the open pastures, and a flame has burned all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field also cry out to you, for the water brooks are dried up, and fire has devoured the open pastures. Now let no man, verse 4, now let no man contend or rebuke another, for your people are like those who contend with the priests. What does that mean? The priest in that day was not doing his job, not doing his duty. He was not warning the people. Therefore, God raised up the prophets. Rationalizing and denying their wrongs, the people protested their innocence like those who would not accept the decision of the priests. Nothing new. 5, therefore you shall stumble in the day, the prophet also shall stumble with you in the night, and I will destroy your mother. Who's this mother? This mother is the Israelite nation is the mother, and in which the people are the children of that mother. Israel will be destroyed. Blank will be destroyed. You fill in the blank. They will be destroyed. Verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, it also will forget your children. That's sad news, friends. I will forget your children. Can we afford to forget our children? These are the very children that are going to be dictating how you and I live. Some of you are still relatively young, so it's going to be a while. But there are some of us who are going to be seeing this soon and very soon. These young people are making decisions about our very lives. Just as the campaigning was about getting rid of the babies, the powers that be are going to determine that after a certain age, you are no longer any good for us. You are doing this nation no good. So what we're going to do, we're going to herd you into the hospitals like we did during COVID, and you're going to disappear. Not what we came to hear, but again, I got to tell you the truth. This is what the Word of God is warning us about, being passive. If you are a Christian, the minute you get away from the Word of God, you are doomed for failure in the Christian life. Well, what's a Christian? A Christian is a follower of Christ in the true sense of the word. We throw that word around, we toss that word around to encompass all of that. And sometimes it's defense, sometimes it's offense. But we misuse that word a lot. We have to be careful. We should be careful. And if you hear that word and you're not comfortable with it, ask the speaker, what does that mean? It's like we used to do with the word Jesus. You can talk about God all you want, but you bring up the word, the name or the word Jesus, things change. All of a sudden you realize that you're speaking a different language to some people, some religious organizations. Ask, you mentioned that word Christian, what is that? What does that mean? And listen carefully, not just what they say or what they don't say. I can do this because I'm a Christian. I can do anything I want. I can do anything you can do. But do you want to? Do you desire to hang out and do these unspeakable things? What is a Christian? Having rejected the Lord's instruction, Israel could no longer serve as his priest to the nations. So he just asked them to take a seat. Because you could not recognize that priest from a lay person. That's pretty sad. And back in the book of Ezekiel, the nation was running rampant with idolatry. And so the Lord brought in 70 men to stem the tide. And all 70, even the high priests, created their own dens of iniquity. And it's no different from what we're seeing today. These men, these women have created a den of iniquity. Why? Because they can. There's not much opposition to what they're doing. We talk about it, we complain about it. But what do we do? Brother, I'm not sure what I do about it. You've always got prayer. Always. They can't stop you from praying for them. They can't. Pray. Verse 7, the more they increase, the more they sin against me. I would change their glory into shame. Verse 8, they eat up the sin of my people. They set their heart on their iniquity. You will notice, the darker the sin, the more we enjoy bragging about it. I know a young man, well, not so young, but relative to me, and he was involved in the ministry, and he made a decision based on the way things were going that he would no longer allow testimony. What he found, and he's not alone, what he found is that most of the people came there, they were basically bragging about how bad they were, how bad the things were that they did. And they sum it up with, "But the Lord saved me." Brag about that. Lest any man should boast, brag about that. But that's not what they do. I was a wretched sinner. I did all these things, and you know, they go away for a while, and do they go to State Penn or Penn State? We don't know. We don't know, but this is what happens. And it's rampant among our people. Verse 9, "And it shall be like people, like priests, so I punish them for their ways and reward them for their deeds." He was the same way he punished the lay people, he had to punish the priests. Because as I said, the only way you could tell the difference about what they were wearing, as far as their actions, it was a mirror image. The priests were doing the same thing that the lay people were, the congregation. Verse 10, "For they shall eat, but not have enough. They shall commit harlotry, but not increase, because they have ceased obeying the Lord." They have ceased obeying the Lord. It's not going to work out. There's a downside to that. "If you're ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of you before my Father." Do you want that to be the words that come from the Lord that you've seen face to face? The answer is no. I'm going to answer for you. You don't want that. You don't want that at all. Famine is coming to the land. Ma and Pa Kettle's names are no longer on the deed to the farm. It's not. Check it out. Well, Ma and Pa Kettle were concerned about the well-being of the nation. They farmed to feed us, to make sure we were fed properly, healthy, timely. Nope. They've sold the deed to the farm, to others. You decide who that is for yourself. And now there's no guarantee. We went through the COVID era, and it was hard for us to imagine that the cupboard would be bare. But we relied on the point that, okay, in a couple weeks, the cupboards are going to be replenished. Now we're at a point in our nation, there's no guarantee. Those cupboards can go bare and stay bare. So you go in there looking for food and not to be found. Well, they can't do that to us. They're doing it to us. They will do it to us. They have that much control over our very food, our very water, and everything else that we hold dear. Everything that we need. Someone else can and will control that. If you want these substances, you're going to pay a high price, not just in money, but you're going to have to pledge allegiance to someone else besides our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They're going to put those kind of demands on us. It's hearing the word. Not making this up, folks. "The position of power and glory abused in succeeding generations by the eating of the sin offerings would be turned to shame. Being no different from the people, the priests who should have been faithful would share their punishment." No difference. But these are the priests. These are the people that we rely on. These are the people that feed us the word of God. Every brother is not a brother. Every sister's not a sister, mister. Be careful. Choose this day who you will serve. As for me in this church, As for me and my home, we will serve the Lord. You have to make this decision for yourself. Verse 11, harlotry, wine, and new wine enslave the heart. Here is a moral truth applicable to all people in all times. Harlotry, wine, and new wine enslave the heart. Part of our problems in Washington, D.C. are caused by harlotry, adultery, and excessive alcohol. There's other issues, but it can be narrowed down to those three. They are responsible for men and women doing all kinds of perverse things. This is not confined to any particular party or group. My question to you, congregation, who do you trust? Who do you trust? We were very challenged by the last election in many ways, and we still are being challenged. Because you don't know. You don't know, but the Lord has the answer. And that's one of the answers in this book. It's got to be Him. We can't put trust in any man. We can't put that trust in any woman. We need to be concerned about who do we trust. Verse 12, my people ask counsel for their wooden idols, and their staff informs them, for the spirit of harlotry has caused them to stray, and they have played the harlot against their God. We have people turning from God and running to gurus. Maybe it'd be something different depending on what circle you run in. One of the gurus who came to this country said that he had come for the money, and it was nothing but a religious scandal. It was a racket as far as he was concerned. Yet the people went after him. I will not have this man rule over me. I want a God that I can physically see. I want a God that I can physically touch. I want a God that's right in front of me. And even if to the point where I can control this God to a certain degree, I don't want this Jesus. We want a God, we want a king just like everybody else. Again, there's a downside. Verse 13, they offer sacrifices on the mountaintops and burn incense on the hills under oaks, poplars, and terebinths because their shade is good. Therefore, your daughters commit harlotry and your brides commit adultery. This is not what the Lord will have of us. I'd like to believe that everybody in this room knows that. Have you read the word? Have you understood the word? Have you made commitment to honor the word? That's what it's going to come down to. And it may be new to some of us here, but most of us, we know this already. One problem that we have, most of us, we're hearers of the word. That's where it stops. But the word says, not just be hearers, but doers also. Are we honoring what we've been called to? Verses 12 and 13 in this are illustrations of enslavement of Israel. Bondage. Are we in bondage? How do you define that? How do you define that in your own life? What is bondage? Are you trying to get down that narrow path with a suitcase full of stuff and you're bumping and grinding all the way through? Why do you need all this? And I certainly can't judge anyone. Just by the grace of God, what you're going through, and you, that could be me. I got issues. Some of you know that already. That's because I'm trying to lean on my own understanding. And the word makes it very clear. I'm trying to make my own plans. And the word makes it very clear. I can make my plans, but I want God to guide my steps. And I found out that's the best way. There is a prevailing mindset and inclination to worldly spiritual immorality, such as idolatry. And we are deprived of righteous teaching and understanding. and they sacrificed to idols. Hilltops and groves of trees were favorite places for idolatrous worship, including religious prostitution. We need to turn to the Savior who can redeem. We need to turn to the Savior who can help. And we need to turn to the Savior who can save us. He knew, Lord knew, Jesus, Spirit knew, that we were in need of a Savior. He sent Jesus Christ once and for all. And there's some of us who are not, haven't grasped that yet. We're still holding on to things that we were taught in other religious systems. Things like, I'm a good person, I'm in. Okay, I challenge you to ask yourself, what's a good person? What does that look like? What does that feel like to be a good person? I don't know. Verse 14, I will not punish your daughters when they commit harlotry, nor your brides when they commit adultery, for the men themselves go apart with harlots and offer sacrifices with a ritual harlot. Therefore, people who do not understand will be trampled. Now, this to some of us, this doesn't sound like real good. These are not terms of endearment. And plus, they're coming from a loving God. A loving God would never do this, I hear a lot. Why would a loving God allow this to happen? Why would a loving God say that I would be trampled? A loving God wouldn't do that. Read the word. Although all who sin will be judged, God forbade punishing the adulteresses alone and leaving the men who patronize them to go free. The heaviest punishment would not be on the women who sin, but the fathers and the husbands who set such a bad example by their encouragement with prostitutes. But brother, that's not the kind of language that we should be talking about in church. That's not very encouraging. I come here to hear about the fact that I'm saved and, you know, I'm in. My ticket's been punched. I didn't come to hear this. Okay, but wait. God's children would not be going to hell because they sin. Really? Yeah, really. But because they had turned from the living and true God. If we were all going to hell because we sin, we'd all be going to hell. Simple as that. But brother, that may be you, but not me. Yeah, you. Yes, you. Not because you sin. Verse 15, though you Israel play the harlot, let not Judah offend. Do not come up to Gilgal, nor up to Beth Aven, nor swear an oath saying, as the Lord lives. What God is saying is, he's saying, I am going to hold Judah back. I will not judge Judah yet. And Judah, don't you come up and worship those calves which Israel has put up there. My friends, sisters, brothers, don't worship the idols that the powers that be are putting before us. Do not. Do not. And you may say, well, this is really nice. This makes life a whole lot easier. It's okay. It's okay. I feel more comfortable because now I don't have to work as hard to serve the Lord. Sin's great for a season. And there are a lot of people sitting in this room who know exactly what that means. But brother, you know, I went out with the boys. We were just having fun. You know, well, the girls and I get together and we just talk about stuff and things. And it's fun. In and of itself, there's nothing wrong with that. What are you setting before you? What idols have you set before you? What idols are you creating, even now? As we sit here today, what idols are you holding on to? What are the things that we need to let go of? God is saying, I'm going to hold Judah back. I will not judge Judah yet. And Judah, don't you come and worship these calves. Americans, whatever you are, Don't worship those false idols. It's just a matter of time before the Holy Spirit wakes you up and you're going to say, what a loss. This time could have been spent worshiping the Lord. Gilgal, between Jordan and Jericho in the area of Samaria, was once a holy place to God. Afterwards, desecrated by idol worship. Blank was once a holy place to God. Afterward, desecrated by idol worship. Fill in the blank. Judah was to stay away from Israel's centers of false worship, including Beth Aven, which meant house of wickedness and deceit. And this was a deliberate substitution for the name Bethel, which means, most of you know, house of bread, once sacred to God, but made by Jeroboam a place to worship calves. But why would he do that? Why do you and I worship idols? Regardless of what Jeroboam did, why do you and I today worship idols? We know better. Not that he didn't. Why do we worship idols? It doesn't have to be a calf. What's an idol? What's an idol for you? What is that? Money? Houses? Cars? Humankind? Opposite sex? In some cases, maybe not. What are you holding on to? What is that idol? Verse 16, for Israel is stubborn, like a stubborn calf. Now the Lord will let them forage like a lamb in open country. If you can imagine a lamb in open country. How long is that going to last? They have no defense system. How long are they going to last? What is your defense system? Your home? That's where you go to hide. It's not going to work for you. And that stubborn calf is, well, we'll get there. Verse 17, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. As the largest and most influential of the northern 10 tribes, Ephraim's name was often used as representative of the northern nation. Actually, 36 times in this book. This was an expression of God's wrath of abandonment. When sinners reject him and are bent on fulfilling their wicked purposes, God removes restraining grace and turns them over to results of their own perverse choices. Read up on Nebuchadnezzar when you get a minute. There are others, but when you turn against God, when you turn from God, things can go wrong very easily. Things do go wrong very easily. Verse 18, their drink is rebellion. They commit harlotry continually. Her rulers dearly love dishonor. The sad thing is that when women and men in our government, instead of using language that is clean and chaste, love to swear or use foul language. Pet peeve of mine, so I certainly won't judge anybody, and to abuse alcohol. They love shame more than glory. For those of us who've been around for a long time, there was a time when we could listen to a speech from some of the powers that be or talking heads, and it wasn't necessary to bleep. And now, when you're watching them, when you're listening to them, they have to be bleeped out. That shouldn't be so. And for some of us who are in corporate environments, I know you're familiar with that as well. It's disgusting. Why are we gone so far back until we can't hold a decent conversation anymore without certain words that we use over and over and over again? I don't have to say it from here. We're all adults. You've heard it. I don't care what you do, where you go. You've heard it. Why? Why do they have to resort to that? This man is, a woman is in the highest seat in the land, yet the messages have to be bleeped. Why is that so? Because they like that. If it's not for shock value, is to show that I'm relevant now. I'm using the language that everybody uses. Why would you choose to? Their drink is rebellion. They commit harlotry, continue her rule is dearly loved, dishonor. And that's what they do. They love shame more than glory. Hard concept, but it's true. They love shame more than glory. And that's what we're dealing with today. Verse 19, the wind has wrapped her up in its wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. Some people, some of us are carried away by every wind of doctrine, and God says that they are going to be made ashamed before it is over. We must never assume that everyone who attends church knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I found that when I listen to them talk, I get one impression. But when I watch their actions, I sometimes get a different impression. That shouldn't be. If you are a Christian, be a Christian. If you're a child of God, be a child of God. There is no secret agent Christian. There is no lukewarm, true, pure-hearted Christian. Does not exist. I sometimes get a different impression, but then I ask myself this question, but who do you say you are? Who do you say you are? Well, brother, I'm a Christian, dyed in the wool. Are you? Are you saying that I'm a Christian inside these walls? Once I walk out the door, it's a different story. That shouldn't be. That's not a true, pure-hearted Christian at all. We're playing church. It's very dangerous to play church. Very dangerous to pretend you're a Christian because the other side, as the saying goes, your true colors will come through. You may be to fool me, but you can't fool God. I'm going to do this because who's going to know? God's going to know. That's enough. You can fool Richard very easily, but you can't fool the Lord. We have more information at our fingertips than we can possibly process. But in the end, what we know profits little. It's who we know that really matters. But who knows us matters even more. Does the Lord know you? I think so. Are you saved? I think so. Do you have a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? I think so. Know and be known. You need to know. You need to know that you know that you know. This is not guesswork. When the Lord comes back shortly, where are you going? Well, I'm going to my eternal life. Yeah, but now I got to ask you one other question. Which eternal life? Where are you going to spend your time? Are you going to spend your time in torment? Are you going to spend your time in a place worshiping Him? Unending. Matthew 16:26 asks the question, for what profit it is to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? A substantial portion of this alive today, a substantial portion of those alive today will not know Jesus. But he will be coming soon. Just want you to know. And he wants to observe his purposeful, determined, and unwavering followers being prepared for him. Are you ready? You can ask yourself, what does it take to get ready? Well, here's a couple things. We are to be engaged and alert, taking this life and charge seriously. But I don't know what he's called me to. The Holy Spirit is speaking. It's not a matter of speaking, it's a matter of listening. And a wise man told me that it's not a matter of wills and won'ts. It's a matter of do's and don'ts. That's where we are. We are to be present. We are to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to all who listen. All. At any place and at any time. It might very well be inconvenient to stand for Christ or to inform others about his love and mercy, yet preaching the word of God is a main obligation to the congregation and is in, that his individuals have given, been given. You've been given this charge. You've been given this duty. You've been given this promise. Do you care about others, or is it really all about you? 2 Timothy 4, 1-2 says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instructions. It's a lot of words. It's a high calling, friends. It's not reserved for those of us with a badge. It's for each and every one of you. This is not specific to certain ones. The God that I know is not a respecter of persons. He's calling you. Are you listening? Second Timothy 4:3. Tells us, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Is that us? There are people who seek out preachers that proclaim a message of doctrine that condones their lifestyle. These are those who turn or fall away explicitly by keeping away from the truth. They don't listen to sound doctrine. They discover people that they like. Faithless individuals. They do not listen to sound doctrine. I'm going to choose who I want to hear from. And those I don't want to, see you soon. 2 Timothy 4:5 states, but you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all duties of their ministry. There are people out there who are able to divert others to another direction than the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. And even if you're speaking it to them, they don't want to hear you out. Did that, done that, it doesn't work for me. How can the love of God not work for everyone? It does. The reason why some of us have trouble accepting it because we're counting the cost. If I claim to be a Christian, then I can't do this anymore. But those are the things he's called you from. Friends, he's always imputing something, and he's also taking something out at all times. When he talks about crucifying that flesh every day, it's not easy. It's very, very challenging, but that's what we need to do. But those of us who accepted Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, he has a plan. There's a cost involved. Too often we use the word, I don't have time. Did you read the scripture that I gave you? I really don't have time for that now. I got a lot of other things I need to do. It doesn't come down to that. What it comes down to is priority. Everyone in this room has been given 24 hours every day. What do you do with that? Your choice. What do you do with those 24 hours? Are you too busy? I'm too busy to read the Lord's word, to study, to do my devotional, because I got to set aside some time to go do my bingo thing this afternoon. So many other things I need to do. There's a sale at Macy's. Can't pass on that. What do you do? If there's anyone here today who does not know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, I beseech you, come up, let's pray together. And we have a few minutes, so I'm going to call the pastors up and elders. If you come up and stand with me, and if anyone has a desire to pray, I would say, come on up and express what's on our heart. I was blessed last week because I got to hear from a couple people, and I'm judgmental in a sense that I look at them and they got a smile on their face, and I'm thinking all is well. They must be doing pretty good. How you doing, sister? How you doing, brother? Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, doing great. How you really doing? And that's, in my experience, that's when the real prayer comes through. Now, they come and they just tell you what's really going on in their lives. My people perish for lack of knowledge. We perish because a lot of us, we see each other, we sit at the table and eat together, and it's not genuine conversation. They want to know who won the game. They want to know who's leading the league in rushing. They're thinking about, you know, what my son and daughters are doing right now. We need to focus on this, plain and simple. My people perish for lack of knowledge because we are not engaged. Most of the people sitting here today, with all due respect, are not plugged in to anything. Their time in fellowship is a spectator sport. Not knocking anyone, to each his own. The Lord knows where you need to be. But I pray that we open our hearts to one another first and foremost. Be informed. Be informed. Fellowship is crucial. That's why anytime you get the chance to go to a fellowship, a Bible study, or ladies' fellowship, men's, whatever it is, take advantage of it. You'll be surprised how much you don't know. And not only you, but the people around us are perishing or destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Take the time to fellowship. Take the time to get to know the people around you. Take this time to honor the Lord in everything. It's important. It's imperative. Father, we just thank you for this time that you set aside just for us. And I pray, Father, that your word was rightly divided. And I pray that if there was anything that was said that discouraged my sister or my brother, I pray that you would fix it even now. I thank you for this opportunity to share. Behold how good and how pleasant it is when brothers and sisters can dwell together in unity. And I pray that we never take it for granted, that we truly learn to love one another, Father. As the word said earlier, you will know my people by the love they have for one another. So I pray that those words would be true and that you would continue to bless as only you can, Father. So for those of us who are in pain, for those of us who are going through physical, emotional, spiritual, financial trials, that you would touch. Your word tells us that you are that great I am. You're whatever we need, whenever we need it. Your word tells us that you're not a respecter of person. So you have not cast anyone aside. You continue to love us. You are sovereign God. And we know that we can count on that, Father. Even when you're doing things that are not to our liking, Your word tells us that all things work to the good of those who are in Christ Jesus. So we thank you for that, Father. So we give you praise and honor for who you are. And we're just so grateful for whose we are. And again, Father, keep your hedge of protection around your children. We need thee every hour. In the name of Jesus, our soon returning King, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you guys. Thanks for coming out. So, if you would like to pray with one of the pastors, please come up. Nothing to be ashamed of. Whatever you say, pray with them. It's all confidential. You don't have to be concerned about sitting on the 10 o'clock news.